How's everybody today?
Good.
Isn't it great to be loved?
Yes.
To be so close together.
Not like close.
Not like close. Well, maybe you need to sit by me, Jimmy, today. All right. I want you to look over here at what do we call these? Those are candles, but what kind of candles?
The candles with the thing that they represent something.
Yes, they do. They represent something. It's bigger than a bread box. What? And we're talking about Jesus' birth when he came the first time. That's what we're celebrating this season. That's what Christmas is, right?
Yep.
When he came the first time to be born. And the fancy word for that is
resurrection.
Advent. And Advent means coming. So listen to me. We're celebrating his first coming with Christmas. That's what Christmas is all about. Because what are we celebrating at Christmas? His birth. Now last week y'all lit this first candle while I was gone.
Yes.
And what did it represent, Will? The prophets. And we found out what prophet really meant, didn't we, last week? If y'all haven't heard that, you need to go back and listen into that. So, we're going to light the second candle today. And the prophets, they told us hundreds of years before that Jesus was going to be born. Now, today we're going to light the second candle. And this candle represents the angels. Did angels have anything to do with the story of Jesus?
Yes.
What were some of the things that angels did at the story? Jimmy?
They showed the prophets where to go.
Yeah, that's right. What else?
On baseball camp, they picked a person to catch a ball.
Yeah, I guess they could do that too. But in the story, in the Christmas story, what did angels do, Will?
Told him he'd come to Mary.
That's right.
And the shepherds.
Do you remember that? In fact, in Luke chapter 1, it talks about that they came and told Mary she was going to have a baby, and she wasn't even married yet. They came and told the shepherds. They came and told Joseph. They told Joseph, it'd be all right to marry her because even though she was about to have a baby and it was a shame for that to happen in that time. And later on, they came and told Joseph when to leave town because the baby was going, they were going to be after the babies, all the babies, Herod wanted to kill them, and then when to come back. And the angel even came to one of their cousins, Zechariah, who's the father of John the Baptist. So angels are all in the story. Does anybody know what the word angel means? Anybody? The word means messenger. So that's what these angels were doing. They were bringing God's message. Now listen to me closely. So we light the second candle. First candle represented who?
Prophets.
Second candle?
Angels.
And next week we're going to tell the third part of the story. And we're going to tell, and then the following week, the fourth part of the story. And then on Christmas Eve, we're going to have a special candle here in the middle. And we're going to put the whole story together about the birth of Jesus. Now listen, God wants you to be a messenger for Him and tell other people about Jesus. One of the ways you can be his messenger this week is to tell your friends at school and your neighbors and your family about the live nativity that we're going to have out here. And some of y'all are going to participate in it. When people come by out there on Tuesday and Wednesday nights here, Thursday night in Georgetown, they're going to get to see a beautiful picture. It'll remind them of what the true meaning of Christmas is. It's all about the birth of Jesus. And Brother Gary, come on up here. And Brother Gary is going to lead us in a song. Okay? He put, Miss Lynn put his guitar in the dryer, and look what happened to it. You don't believe that, Jack?
No, you don't.
Okay, all right. Have you, any of you ever seen an angel? Have any of you ever thought that you might have entertained an angel as you thought about it later on? Mm-hmm. I want to bring the reality of the story to us. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Hebrews, the first chapter. Hebrews chapter 1 and the last verse of that first chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews, James. Got it? Before I read that, I want to remind you, it's a Christmas season. We have two seasons a year where publicly we do these celebrations. One is celebrating Christ's first coming, Advent, and the other is resurrection in the spring. And those are two culturally acceptable times where you can go out, when I use that culturally acceptable, I know you're thinking, well, they're trying to shut us down this, trying to shut us down. Well, yes, they are. That's the battle. But we still have freedom. We can come out here and do this live nativity. We can plaster signs all over the place, you know, put them out, you know, except in Georgetown, and they get all the signs out there. But you have an opportunity to have conversations with the people in your life about Jesus. Let me just put it to you bluntly. If you're not doing that in the season, you are being disobedient, because the Lord has set the table for you to have conversations with people. It's all around you. They're talking about Christmas. They're talking about Christ every day. You say, well, they're talking about it the wrong way. Well, how are they going to know the right way unless you pray? And I'm not saying, you know, you need to become this, get you a King James Bible that's about this wide and tall as me and, you know, and beat people up with it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being real with people. We're going to get down to some of that today. So I hope you'll receive this today. Verse 14, chapter 1, Hebrews, it says, and by the way, you know, he's showing the primacy of Christ in this first chapter of Hebrews, and how that he has elevated us who are the children of God, and we're above the angels. But then he says this, and in the process of talking about Jesus and us, he talks about angels. And we have great teaching here about angels. And there's one that you need to get. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who inherit salvation? He's talking about angels. Are they not all ministering spirits who are sent out in behalf of, you know, that I went back and I got to the original language about this, and that's exactly what it means, in behalf of. So in a certain sort of way, every person who is to inherit salvation. Now who are those people? Who are the people who are going to inherit salvation? Every believer. Every Christian, every person who has received Jesus into his life, who has claimed the name of Christ, who has professed his faith in Christ. The interpretation here, is that an angel, at least an angel, is ministering to you. Now, how powerful is an angel? Well, we read in the book of Revelation, four of them will go out at a time, and one third of the population is going to go away. How powerful is an angel? What can an angel do? What can an angel do for you? They're God's ministering spirits who are here. They're angels watching in on us right now. Now, angels are servants of the Lord. We don't worship angels. A lot of bogus teaching out there on angels. But I just want to remind you today that as we talk about one angel in particular, and a story I'm going to read to you in just a second, I want you to see the reality of those angels in your life and move this story about angels that surrounded the coming of Jesus. And we see those. We're going to read the Zechariah story today, but you got Zechariah, John the Baptizer's daddy, who had an encounter with an angel. You have Mary, who has that encounter, that beautiful encounter in Luke 1. You have Joseph, who on three occasions has encounters with angels. We've already spoken of that. You have the shepherds that have the encounter. Twice they have encounters with angels there. And I'm sorry, but the theme today is a beautiful song that Gary did earlier. The theme today is angels. Angels, on this day, as we have lighted the second candle of Advent, as we celebrate the first coming of Jesus and remember the story, the real story. You say, well, but I know the story. You know every detail of it? Have there been some things that you may have forgotten about the story? Or maybe God wants to reveal a depth about the story to you today that you are yet to receive. Do you believe that God can still teach you something from His Word today? I believe so. All right. Take angels out of the story of Advent, and you have a very slim story. You can't tell the story without having angels involved in it. In Luke chapter 1, if you want to turn there, you can turn to Luke 1. Begin in verse 5. I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. Hear the story for today. It all begins with a Jewish priest. His name was Zechariah, who lived when Herod was king of Judea. Zechariah was a member of the priestly order of Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth was also from the priestly line of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes and careful to obey all the Lord's commandments and regulations. They had no children. What did that make them in their culture? A pariah. Because Elizabeth was barren. All sorts of things had probably been said about her, about the reason for her barrenness. Imagine that. The bitterness that could have been in her life. And now they were both very old. One day Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. They took turns, and it only came around a certain time of year. Verse 9, as was the custom of priests, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary, burn the incense in the Lord's presence. While the incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside praying. Zechariah was in the sanctuary when an angel of the Lord appeared standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was overwhelmed with fear. The angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah, for God has heard your prayer, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You'll have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice with you at his birth. And he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or hard liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. So he's going to be like a Nazarite. He will persuade many Israelites to turn to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah, prophet of old. He will precede the coming of the Lord, preparing the people for his arrival. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. He will change disobedient minds to accept godly wisdom. Now, imagine you've heard all that. What should Zechariah's attitude be at this point? Just a question. Verse 18. Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I know this will happen?" Imagine that. "I'm an old man. My wife is also well along in years." And the angel said, "I'm Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. And it was he who sent me to bring you this good news. And now, since you didn't believe what I said, you won't be able to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly come true at the proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah to come out, wondering why he was taking so long. When he finally came out, he couldn't speak to them. They realized from his gestures that he must have seen a vision in the temple sanctuary. He stayed at the temple until his term of service was over. He didn't have much to say, by the way. And then he returned home. And soon afterward, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and went into seclusion for 5 months. "How kind the Lord is," she exclaimed. "He has taken away my disgrace of having no children." Now, Zechariah was a priest in Israel. He was descendant of Aaron, which made him part of the priestly line of that time, that tribe. At the time of this story, there were about 20,000 priests that were serving in the temple. This meant they had to take turns with the priestly functions, and they were on a calendar. I'm sure that they had an Excel spreadsheet for them so they could get in and out. It was only at the Feast of Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles that they would all be present, all 20,000. Imagine that, 20,000 priests together there in Jerusalem. They were divided in 24 groups. But there's almost 1,000 people in each group. They would take 2 one-week periods in which they could serve in the temple. This meant that many of them would never actually get to participate in the sacrifice. There are many other duties that needed to be performed. Zechariah had a unique privilege to burn the incense before the Lord in his temple. Imagine this. Zechariah and his wife had a great problem. So as he shows up there at that temple, he shows up, and here he is, a priest of the Lord. He's getting to serve in the temple of the Lord at this appointed time, and yet they were childless. Imagine what they had gone through. As she said, the disgrace of not having children. They were childless. We cannot begin to appreciate the gravity of the problem in our cultural understanding of children. It was as if God had cursed them. We know, though, from the Scripture and what happens, that they were living their lives out devoted before the Lord. They were both from the tribe of Levi, and they had been following God's instructions in their life. But they had no child. They'd gotten past childbearing years, and they felt the sting of this childlessness very acutely. As he begins this service of the Lord, he begins service with a great, great burden. Now, what do you see in the story? Several things I want to share with you. And I think these are very, very important things for us for this Christmas season. I want you to hear these clearly. The first, hope may have passed you by. You imagine the thoughts that had gone through Zechariah's head and Elizabeth. The hope of having a child seemed to have passed them by. Here they are at the depth of their pain. Oh, the nights they must have longed to have another child, to have a child. How many times do you reckon they had asked the Lord why? How many times have you asked the Lord why about certain things in your life? But Zechariah and Elizabeth did not give up. They must have felt like it. The angel Gabriel comes to Zechariah and acknowledges that his prayers and the prayers of his wife have been acknowledged by the Lord. There's that affirmation. And now, the hope that this seemed like had passed them by, God is bringing it back to them. I wonder how many of you have thought, well, maybe the hope of God doing something about fill in the blank, whatever it is. Maybe God has just passed me by and He's not going to do anything in my life. Second thing I want you to see, you may be surprised that God is listening. It's a bit of irony that here a priest of the Lord who is there serving in the temple of the Lord at this special time, at the peak of his service, at the peak of what they would call his religious activity, at that very time the angel Gabriel speaks to him. It's a bit of irony that at that time he acknowledges that that God has heard his prayers. And yet, he is surprised. One of the things that I love from Henry Blackaby, and I quoted this to you about 5 or 6 weeks ago. He said, as soon as you pray, you need to start looking for God's answer to your prayers. You've asked Him to come and help. What limits does God have on answering your prayer? And how He can do that. Are you expecting? Maybe He gave you the answer and you weren't listening. That's happened to me many times. Especially when I drive. And we're in a different city. And the person who I have been married to for almost 40 years has said in her, you know, one of her nicknames years ago was Little Voice. That was her nickname when we were dating, Little Voice, among others, terms of endearment. But Little Voice has whispered to me, you should have turned right there. This happened recently. But I knew better. The answer was there. There, and it was being spoken into my right ear. And yet I ignored it. How many times have you had the same experience with God? The Scripture says you have not because you ask not. When you ask amiss. You may be surprised. God is listening. He's listening to your prayers. Number three, God has a message for you. Zechariah heard the message of God to him personally. God was going to bring him a son in his old age. A message of grace and mercy. The message was much more than he or Elizabeth could have asked for. Because this child that was going to come to them wasn't going to be any ordinary child. He was going to be the one that the prophet spoke of in the Old Testament. Hear the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. He was going to be John the Baptizer. Whew. Not only are you going to get what you asked for, but here, you're going to get the superlative that for generations until Jesus comes the second time, people are going to be talking about John as we are today. God has a message. It'd be very easy to fall into the lies of the evil one that God has no message for you. Now listen to me. Some of you have already fallen into that and you have settled for less than God's best for your life. I want to announce to you today, God just doesn't have good for you. He has the best. The best. He wants the best for you because He loves you. What is His message? What is He speaking to you in this Christmas season? It's a season of messages from the messenger. And He uses a lot of other people as He's used the angels to bring His message. Who might you be speaking you? You know, every one of those Hallmark movies, they have this person that's like the person that has the special message for everybody in the movie. That character that is there. I want you to know that God's bigger than all that. He has a message specially for you. Are you listening? Number four. Your problems may be speaking more loudly than God's promises. Problems louder than promises. As soon as Gabriel finished speaking, Zechariah began to focus on what? He was going to pick it apart. He's going to nitpick. How's this going to happen? Now, let's see what has transpired. This angel shows up there with him. Just shows up there. And is speaking to him, has read his mail. And Zechariah is going to nitpick it? How am I going to know this is true? Remember what Gabriel says. He gets very, very indignant. He says, "I'm Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was He who sent me to bring you this good news." Are you ignoring? Are you letting your problems speak louder than God's promises for your life? You know, one of His primary promises of this Christmas season comes out of the name of Jesus, one of His names. His name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. There is hope for you. And God has a plan for you. No, you're not Billy Graham. You're who God made you to be. Are you listening? Are you letting your problems just overwhelm you? It's time to start speaking the truth of God out loud. Will you listen to Him? Finally today, number five, Christmas is all about hope. Hope. We began talking today about the celebration of the Advent season, Christmas season, which is all about hope. Hope. Every one of those corny movies that's being shown. And I mean on the bird hunting channel. They've got some corny Christmas movie on there. But it's all about hope. I mean, even the secular world has got that part right. And we need to give them credit because it is about hope. But hope has to have a real platform and a basis in reality. And that basis is Jesus. He's a hope for the world. He's the hope for whatever comes against you. Could you use some hope today? Are you sick? You need a doctor. Who's a great physician? You have a loved one that is sick. Enter Jesus, the healer of mankind. Is your marriage in trouble? Do you need hope today that God has a plan, that God has a way through the wilderness? Does your checkbook look hopeless? Your Quicken Ledger, your QuickBooks, or your Microsoft money? You may think, I've got the Microsoft, I'd like to have the money. Need hope? How about your kids? Do you feel hopeless about them? Are they headed for trouble? Do you just wish someone would jerk a knot in their neck? Do you wish someone would get it in a language they could understand? Are you at odds with someone who is very, very dear to you? And you'd like to see the sun rise and hope come again? Is your job situation more than you can bear? You need hope. You need hope that God has a plan. Has the world situation gotten you down? As you look at the world, are you looking at the world in this defeatist attitude and you're thinking, man, you know, if we don't stop this, the Muslims are just going to kill everybody. If they don't do it, the Russians are going to nuke them. We're speaking the obvious. I've lived with this all my life. Getting out of school in first grade to go down, you know, so we could traipse down to the on Bull Street to the rail yard there and practice going to the fallout shelter. And yet I have people around me say, no, we need to live like that threat doesn't exist in the world. I'm telling you, that's a real threat in the world. That's real stuff. We see the stuff in France, and we see what happened out in California. We start asking, is there a better way? And then we get transformed. We remember that Jesus came the first time, and He's coming again the second time. We're celebrating, and we're going to try to share with our kids the true story, so they know what Christmas is really about. It's not about all the commercialization, all this garbage, all this stuff that goes on. It's really about His first coming. And that He's coming back. The one who fulfilled the promise the first time is able to fulfill it the second time. Whoo, man. That's hope. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't give over. Trust today. It comes like this. We go into the Christmas season like this. And how does God want us to go into the Christmas season, to the Advent season? He wants to go in like this. Lord, I give it all to you. To celebrate Christmas? I was 30 years old before I ever slept through the night on Christmas Eve. That's true. My wife can verify that for you. I get so wound up. And it wasn't any of the garbage either. It wasn't any of the other stuff. It wasn't any of the... The trappings, they're fine. Yeah, that's fine. As long as it doesn't get in the way of the wonder, of the hope of what is Christmas. First live nativity we ever did. I was pastor out at Silkcoat Baptist, that out off of 17. Remember building that crash. Guys came out. Thank God for you yesterday, fellas, and all these guys. And if you ladies missed the party last night, well, let's just say they had to call the police out here. That's all I got to say. You missed out. but I remember building that first crash. And when I was a little kid, I remember wondering, why don't we get together and have one of those nativity scenes out where everybody could see it. I was thinking about stuff like that. I thought it was great. And the other thing was, I said, why can't we have church on Christmas Eve? Our church didn't do that. Kind of made a promise to the Lord and to myself. If I have anything to do with that one day, those are two things we're going to do. We're going to stand some people up outside and we're going to find whatever animals, if it's a dog and a cat, we're going to put them out there. And cats have always liked the hay. We're going to do that, and we're going to get together on Christmas Eve and we're going to celebrate with our forever family the hope that is today. You see, it was the wonder of it, the mystery of it, the hope of it that caught my attention and still does. I still have a fire in me about that. I love it. Watching Gary up here with that ukulele and singing those carols, that just lights my fire. I want you to know today, the Lord's got better for you, a better Christmas celebration for you than what you've been experiencing. And I'm asking you today to embrace His hope, the blessed hope. You know, when the Scripture talks about that, it's looking back of what Jesus has done and looking forward to what He's going to do. And you know what? On the way to His second coming, He's got a lot of other things He wants to do in our lives. He wants to use us in His plan. His plan of redemption. We're going to have conversations this week out there around those animals and that hay and over a cup of coffee or hot chocolate. There are going to be people that are going to stop by. That's going to be the only thing they're going to see that's real about Christmas. All the rest of it is a fleeting thing. And this is real because it's about Jesus. I invite you today to put your stuff at His feet. Some of you dread Christmas because it means you have to be around some family and friends. That relationships are strained. And I want to say to you, I've been in that position before too. But I want you to know, God has hope for you. Let's pray. Lord, as I've been praying today, you've just let me see with my spiritual eye the darkness of despair and how that happens. And then the sun rising. And Lord, I'm asking you to shine today and bring hope into the lives of my brothers and sisters. Lord, if there's anyone here who has never claimed the name of Jesus, may this be the day when they accept Jesus into their lives and realize the true hope of all eternity, to have your sins forgiven and to have a home in heaven forever. And a changed life today. Lord, I'm asking you for us who have known you, Lord, for a long time, some of us, that we could have hope, real hope, and let it be infectious to the people around us. Thank you, Lord. We give you this time now. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, look this way, if you will. I'm going to give you two faces. I'm going to ask you which one you think represents Jesus in your life.
Yeah.
A or B?
A.
Okay. Now, I'm not talking about plastic pasted on. I'm talking about just enjoying what God's doing in your life. We need you this week. You need this week. All hands on deck. You know, we don't do a lot of things where we just, you know, oh, you got to be at this, you got to be. You're not in that church. You're not in that church. But this is something this week is important. Hundreds of people will be impacted personally. Thousands will be passing by here and in Georgetown. We get an opportunity. Need all hands on deck. Tuesday, Wednesday here, Thursday out in Georgetown. Ask you to be a part. And invite your friends to come. John sent you that message. You know, like us on Facebook. Listen. You spread all this other stuff out there on Facebook. Hey, let's get a grip here on reality. Let's spread this around a little bit too. You know, and Old Man in the Tree next Sunday, the misdirected Christmas play on the 20th, and then we'll have our Christmas Eve service here, Candles, Carols, Communion, 24th. There you got it. And then breakfast, the Sunday, I know you'd get excited about that, in between Christmas and New Year's. And so, hey, you got it. Any questions? Ted, you got any questions? All right. And a few people have guests with them. Scott has someone with him today, and we're glad to have you. God bless you, Angelique. He thought he had made it. We're getting to the benediction and thought he'd made it through. All right, you ready to be sent out? Jim, you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, let's go. Lord, send us out now in the power of the Holy Spirit under the love of Jesus the Son and the authority of God our Father. Amen. Second one.